this morning to the Glory to His Name podcast, where our mission always is to help God's people stay spiritually motivated, spiritually dedicated, and hydrated in God's Word. Well, we had a wonderful Tri-State Baptist Fellowship last night here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Great attendance, a lot of great preaching, fellowship, worship. The ladies did a wonderful, wonderful job with the meal in our dining hall. We do want to thank them for all their effort and all the great food and hard work that they put in. And we do want to thank all the preachers and people of God that came to the meeting to make it just a big success for the Lord. And God was glorified. The name of the Lord Jesus was lifted up last night and everything that was said and done. We have the first preacher of the night last night was Brother John Nichols. Brother John pastors a church in Indiana. Just a wonderful, wonderful man, him and his wonderful family. He's great friends to the ministry here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. They come to our camp meeting every year in June and August as much as they can. Brother John brought just a wonderful, wonderful message, and we'd like to play that for you in this podcast. Hope you'll enjoy it, and please, if you go to Podbean, the app on your phone, or you go to podbean.com and look for this, just look up Glory to His Name podcast. That should pop up, and we're going to have Brother John Nichols preaching. We hope you'll just be blessed by it. And share this with your friends, if you would, or post it to your social media account. And so we're just excited. We're going to put some others on there from last night. And Brother Brad Invaldson from Indiana, he did the last message last night. Just a really, really great message on motivation, how Jesus motivates God's people. Amen. So without further ado, we want you to listen to Brother John Nichols and enjoy it, and we'll tune back in at the end of the episode. God bless.
What's happening in this text, the Lord is leaving the upper room and heading toward the cross. And as I try to tell our folks here in our church, what seems to happen the next few hours in the Lord's life seems to be the greatest miscarriage of justice on the face of the earth. It seems that our Lord went through what we would call a kangaroo court. We know it was an illegal court, bring false witnesses, and he's falsely accused, he's crucified. But I want to remind us, even though from the human standpoint that the Lord went through all of what we would call a miscarriage of justice, yet in the divine plan of Almighty God, the Son of God never lost one moment of control while he was on this earth. Everything happened in accordance with the plan of God. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53 had to be fulfilled. And as the Lord is going toward Calvary, we're going to see in this text even, he is in complete control. The first thing I want us to see is the Lord's prediction. So the Bible tells us here, verse 26, we can read that they went out into the Mount of Olives. And less than 24 hours before this, the Lord had given them the great Olivet Discourse, speaking of his second coming, and he explained to them the glories of what was going to happen as the Lord returns. Now, obviously, we're not coming back to this place for the exposition of the Scriptures, but we're going back to this place because the Lord is going to spend some time in prayer before he goes to Calvary. Now, it's very interesting as they leave the city of Jerusalem, as you know the geography, that he leaves eastward and they go down into the Kidron Valley before they ascend up the Mount of Olives. And what is interesting and striking is that at this moment in time, the Lord, even though he's walking out at night, me being a country boy, I've been out in the woods at night, and a lot of times you can you cross the creek in the moonlight, maybe have a flashlight with you, and you notice the things around you, and as the Lord is crossing to the Kidron Valley, crossing the River Kidron, the way the temple was set up, the blood from all the sacrificial lambs would have been flowing down during that time. As the Lord crosses the brook Kidron, that very brook that he is crossing is full of the blood of the lambs that have been shed for the Passover celebration, reminding him that in just a few short hours, he's going to shed his blood for the sins of the world.
Amen.
And set free all those who come to him in faith. And so as they're going up the mountain here, the Lord makes a very startling prediction in fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. And he says in verse 27, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." Now that word offended is where we get our word scandal from. And it's just, you know what it is? It means to be sorry, to be knocked off in. It means to stumble. And the Lord said, "You're going to be offended because of me this night. You're going to flee." That's the second prediction that he made this night. The first one, of course, where he talked about Judas betraying him. But here's Peter. God loved Peter because I see so much of myself in Simon Peter. And I see where Peter, not knowing his own heart, declared that he would go all the way with the Lord and would die with Jesus. Now, there's not a doubt in my mind that that was really what Peter thought he would do. And I don't know about you, but I've learned that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And our hearts will deceive us. We have good intentions. But can I tell you that the Lord tells him, before the cock has a chance to crow a second time, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny me three times. And that ought to be a warning to those of us that the Lord knows exactly what's going on inside of our hearts. He knows exactly what lies in the heart of man. Remember that verse in John 2. He needed not either testify a man because he knew what was in men. God knows our heart better than anybody else, better than we do, better than our spouse, better than whoever. The Lord knows that. And we ought never to trust in our own heart because our heart will deceive us. Our heart will take us down the wrong way. It will lie to us. It will comfort us when we don't need comfort. Peter's heart deceived him. The Lord makes a very startling prediction. But I want to come down here and I want to talk just for a little while about the Lord's affliction.
Amen.
In these very, very precious, precious verses.
Amen.
As the Lord is ascending up the Mount of Olives, they are entering into that place where the Bible says in verse number 32, they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And this was well known to the disciples. You know that Judas knew exactly where to find Jesus. That word Gethsemane means olive press, oil press. And I cannot think about how fitting it is that it was in this place where the men, after they had gotten the crop of olives, were in that large stone basin that's there. They would have crushed that olive crop under their feet and allowed the olive oil to run out, which they collected for medical use, for food use, for lighting, and all those different things. But it's fitting how the Lord here is getting ready to be pressed with such a great burden on him. That we're going to see him going before God, crying out to God for help, asking that this cup would pass from him. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it's also here in this place where the Lord has pressed out a measure that the sweat will now begin to come out of his body, and it's going to fall down as great drops of blood. People say that's a scientific impossibility. Well, you and I both know that, number one, the Bible tells us that it's true, and therefore it is true. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But there are cases. I remember reading that back during the air raids in World War II in London, when folks would go down into the tube, into the subway tunnels, that there were some folks, they were under such stress and such a strain, thinking they were going to die from the German bombs, that they actually broke out sweating blood because of the great stress. And that's just a small thing that we could compare what the Lord went through here in just a minute. And as I understand the geography, the Lord would have left eight of the disciples sitting outside of the gate and taking with him Peter, James, and John. He goes in a little further. And he says to them in verse 32, "In there, sit ye here when I watch and pray." He taketh with him Peter, James, and John. And watch this. The Bible says this, that he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Matthew Henry tells us that word where it says sore amazed is similar to that horror of great darkness that fell upon Abraham in Genesis 15 when he was left all alone and waiting for God to come down and to walk through the pieces of the animals there for the covenant. But it was a much greater and a much, much, much more humbling type thing, because this horror of agony that the Lord is about to experience, being sore amazed and greatly heavy, we see verse 34, he says this, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." This is the first glimpse that we get of our Lord's beginning to take the cup that the Father had for him to drink. And the great amazement, you say, what was that great amazement, preacher? What caused him to be greatly amazed? Well, I want to submit to you, it wasn't because Judas had already made plans to betray him.
Right.
It wasn't because the religious leaders had already rejected him. He knew that. He'd been rejected probably about 2 years prior to this. It wasn't because he knew the disciples were going to forsake him and flee. Why was it that the Son of God was so amazed and was sore heavy and afflicted? It was because of this, that in just a few moments, he was going to experience what he had never experienced before. The holy, harmless Son of God was about to become sin. Now, I can't wrap my country boy mind around how that the spotless Son of God, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, I do not understand how that he was transformed into sin. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. I don't understand that. But what I understand is this, that in just a few moments, the Son of God is about to have communion with the Father broken. And instead of being the darling son from all eternity that he always was, Almighty God was getting ready to judge him as a sinner, judge him as a drunkard, as an adulterer, as a child molester, as a pedophile. He was getting ready to judge him as if he were those, so that all the manners of sinners could come to him and be saved. He was getting ready to be judged as a sinner and judged with sin on him, and he was dreading the separation from his Father. He was dreading that. He was dreading the sheer weight of what was about to happen. Almost like, humanly speaking, nearly crushed the Son of God. Oh, that's just silly. No. I believe it's Isaiah 53:6. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, Jehovah God, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." When I think about that, it makes me think that what kind of attitude did the Son of God have towards sin? He was repulsed by it. He was not interested in dabbling in it.
Right.
He was not interested in even the thought of that. Before he even goes to the cross, it's just making him just crumble under that weight. I began to think to myself how often in my life, and I know the life of other folks, we just don't think much of sin.
Right.
But how sad it is when God's professing people don't think sin to be such a terrible thing.
Come on. Right.
Can I tell you, it was sin that nailed the Son of God on the cross.
Amen.
I know he died out of love. I understand that. But I want us to understand that the reason the Son of God went to the cross was to satisfy the wrath of Almighty God.
Amen.
Right.
The wrath of God for sin.
Amen.
And as he goes there and he is falling under the weight, he begins, in his affliction, he begins to supplicate. We look next at the Lord's supplication. Look with me. When he falls on the ground in verse 35, and he prays that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he cries out with this word, and you know this as well as I do. He says, "Abba, Father." And that word Abba is a very intimate term. There's a lot of things that I'm called. I'm called by my first name, John. My folks down in Tennessee, they call me, I'm Opie's buddy. I'm Johnny Paul, so I go by my first and my middle name. Sometimes I'm called honey. Sometimes I'm called sweetheart. Sometimes I'm called preacher. Sometimes I'm called pastor. I'm going to tell you my favorite title that I go by is Papa Bear. Now, sometimes I'm Grizzly Bear, you ask my wife, but my youngins, they call me Papa Bear. And that word Abba is a very intimate term, much like Father. And he cries out with that intimate relationship, calling to his Father. And I want you to note that this is the last time he uses that phrase before he goes to the cross. Because the Father that he cries out to just a few moments, less than 12 hours later, is going to be his judge, if you will, when he judges Christ in my place.
Amen.
And the Son of God is going to turn his back. Or God's going to turn his back on the Son of God. Which is exactly what happens to every son of Adam who rejects the payment for sin that has been made on his behalf.
Amen.
God will turn his back.
He'll
do it. And pleading throughout all of eternity will not change the mind and heart of God, because if you do not come by the Son, you will not come at all.
Amen.
God recognizes one payment for sin. And that's his Son.
Amen.
We come down to verse number 36. And he says again, he says, "All things are possible unto thee." Now watch this. "Take this cup from me, Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And that verse used to make me wonder, is Jesus trying to get out of the cross? Is he trying to avert going to the cross? And as I began to study and as I began to read, and I began to read after other folks, I believe it was in Krumacher's book on the suffering Savior, he really helped me out on that. Making mention of this, it wasn't that the Son of God was not wanting to go to the cross because the prophecies in the Scripture had to be fulfilled. But it was the becoming of sin, the separation of that communion that he had from all eternity with the Father. That is what repulsed him. And he said, Lord, if there's any other way I can do this, Father, if there's any other way, he said, but nevertheless, not what I will, but thy will be done. Right. And it really should not surprise us that one so holy and harmless would not want to become sin. In fact, when we read this verse here, as Krumacher said, as we read this verse, it helps us to understand that Jesus truly is deity, truly is sinless, truly is Son of God, because he wanted nothing to do with sin. Even the payment for sin, there was that repulsion. He did not want to become that which was unholy, that which was unrighteous, and that which was dirty. He didn't want to become that. But because of his love, because of his obedience, he went all the way to the cross. He was willing to pay the price. Willing to pay the price. Willing to pay the price. He comes down here after his supplication, and he says to Peter in verse number 37, Peter, Simon, why weepest thou? We see now the Lord begins to give a word of exhortation. He says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And boy, how apt that is. Peter repeats that when he says, 1 Peter 5, you know, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He learned that lesson by experience. And I'll say this in passing, just because I want to move on here and let the next preacher come. But notice he didn't call him Peter, he called him Simon.
Yeah.
He called him by that name that the old man went by. Because guess who's getting ready to rear his ugly head in just a few moments?
Yeah.
That old man.
Yeah.
Now, I know none of us have ever let the old man get the best of us, have we? None of us have, ever.
God help us.
Yeah, help us. Help us, Lord. Yeah, that old man sometimes gets sway, sometimes gets out in the front. He wants to be the lead dog. He wants to take over.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to hear the words of the Lord and watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. Right. Take that exhortation very seriously. But last of all, let me finish up with this. We'll look at our Lord's submission. He goes and prays in verse number 39, the same words. He comes and finds them asleep again in 39. But I want you to see verse 41. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. The Lord returns back to prayer twice more after this. And somewhere in there, humanly speaking, if you'll let me use these words, he finds the victory. Is it okay to say that? He finds the victory. He gets the victory. Amen. And the thing I want us to see is this, that no man, as Jesus said, took his life from him. But he's the one, he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. No man came and ripped it away. Now I submit to you today because in him was life, the life was light of men. Had they left him on the cross, he'd still be there today because he could not die until he had dismissed his spirit.
Yeah.
May I say to you that the Son of God, as the good shepherd, was willing to lay down his life for the sheep.
Amen.
People talk about Jesus being all love and doesn't judge anybody. Can I tell you, the Son of all judgment has been committed under the Son.
Amen.
Yes, the Lord loves people.
Amen.
But Jesus is not the tiny Tim, long-haired hippie fella who's tiptoeing through the tulips, hugging and kissing everybody who comes down the pike no matter what they do.
Amen.
I want to submit to you, friend, the Son of God is a man's man.
Amen.
Amen.
Any man, listen to me, he grew up in a carpenter's home. Chances are he'd work with wood, work with tools, had a good grip if a man here would shake a man's hand, he'd had a really good grip. You'd have to have a good grip, and you'd have to be strong to go into the temple and turn over the table of the money changers. Amen. To turn over the tables of them that sell doves. Any man bringing a burden through the temple, keeping them out of there. You have to be physically strong to be able to do those things and not have somebody, listen, tell somebody else to get a hold of you. Amen. I know he's God. I'm looking at it from the human side. But when I see the Son of God, I see a man who is full of courage. Because he, at this point, submits himself to his Father's will.
Amen.
And he says, rise up, and let us go, lo, he that betrayed me is at hand. He walks willingly into the jaws of death. He could have called for heavenly reinforcements at any time.
Yeah.
You know, 12 legions of angels he could have called. And if one angel destroyed 185,000 of the Assyrian army, honey, there wouldn't be anything left of this thing. Had he called those 12 legions, 72,000, had he called those angels, nothing would have been left. But it was in the garden here the Lord came face to face with the cup that he was going to bring to keep my soul and your soul out of hell. As we begin to think about how he was repulsed by sin, yet for the joy that was set before him.
Amen.
He endured the cross.
Yes, sir.
And he despised the shame.
Yes,
and right now he's set down on the right hand of the throne of God. And because God turned his back on his son, and because God allowed the Son of God to drink every last drop of the cup of his wrath, listen to me, he did that so that every sinner who came to him would have complete pardon. Absolute complete pardon. Because Jesus drank every bit of divine justice on my behalf. So when I have a standing before God, I want you to listen to me. I'm holy and without blame before God in love. Because the Son of God made a perfect and complete sacrifice. And you just have to forgive my East Tennessee expression. Ain't nothing to be added to it. Ain't nothing to be taken away from it. Ain't nothing anybody else can do to put a smile upon the face of omnipotence, because Jesus did that 2,000 years ago when he shed his blood in submission.
Amen, brother John.
Amen. Thank God he drank the bitter. Thank you, Lord, so much for your grace and goodness. We pray you bless the remainder of the day. Guide the man of God, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Brother John. God bless you.
Well, folks, we hope you enjoyed the message by Brother John Nichols, talking about our Savior leading up to the cross and a lot of things that he had to endure and go through, and the pain that he suffered, and the communion that Brother John brought out, the communion that he had with the Father. And so just a wonderful, wonderful message. Hope you enjoyed that. We are going to have one or two more from our Tri-State Baptist Fellowship meeting. Try to put that on this weekend. And so, again, please let your family, friends, and everyone know about the Podbean app. And just type in, when you get there, type in Glory to His Name. And that should pop up. We hope in the coming weeks you'll enjoy all of the messages, the devotions, and we'll have some interviews along the way. Also be praying about our other podcast that we're developing. That is going to be the Master's Mind podcast. And that's going to be more centered around interviewing Christian business leaders, pastors, evangelists, just workers, Christian workers in general. So please be in much prayer about that, that we'll get that off the ground soon. We've got everything in the works and hope leading up to that podcast launch very soon. So until next time, dear friend, remember that our mission here at the Glory to His Name podcast is to help God's people and to aid them to be spiritually motivated, spiritually dedicated, and hydrated in God's Word. So until next time, we hope that God's blessings will be upon you, and we'll see you at the next podcast. God bless.